Welcome to On the Couch, a podcast from Reaction with me, Lucy Beresford, broadcaster and psychotherapist, taking a deep dive into the relationships making the headlines in politics today and exploring the psychology and personalities in political life. A lot of the things that governments are expected to do relate to the tangible things in life, like hospitals or schools, policing. But in the last decade or so, more emphasis has been placed on exploring the intangibles of people's lives, such as their mood and how their life situation affects their mental health, which in turn might affect their ability to work or their temptation into crime. This scrutiny reached epic proportions as a result of the pandemic and the way the lives of people of all ages, young and old, were disrupted emotionally. Elderly people and the physically vulnerable shielded, with no one to talk to for days on end, and children missed out on playing with friends and widening their social circle and social skills. And in the aftermath of COVID, what is clear is that loneliness is becoming almost an epidemic in its own right. But are governments equipped to address this issue, which affects society, but is yet so personal? In this first episode of Series 5, and with World Suicide Prevention Day falling this Sunday, the 10th of September, I wanted to dig deep into the subject of loneliness. So I am absolutely thrilled to say that I am joined by the Minister for Loneliness, Stuart Andrew, Conservative MP for Pudsey, Horsforth and Eborough. Hello, Stuart.
Hello there.
Amazing to have you on my couch, as they say. But you are right at the front line of this. You hold many briefs within the Department for Culture, Media and Sport. But this Minister for Loneliness that you are, it was a role that was really first introduced under Theresa May. How did that role come about, and how do you see the role at the moment?
So, well, look, it's great to join you, and I'm really glad that you're doing this, because, you know, it's really important that we raise awareness of the issue of loneliness. And so thank you for, you know, taking the time to do that. I mean, a lot of this actually, in fairness, comes, I think, from the work that Jo Cox did. You know, she was a real advocate for talking about loneliness. And a lot of that stemmed from her own personal experience, you know, going from West Yorkshire to university. She suddenly found herself out of the sort of what she was used to, you know, the sort of not the types of people she used to mix with, the friends that she used to have back at home. Suddenly she was in a different environment, and she started talking about this, and as a result it grew in terms of interest amongst parliamentarians. We've obviously the amazing work that the Jo Cox Foundation have been doing. And then a lot of work. Tracy Crouch was the first Minister for Loneliness. And, you know, she did an incredible job setting off what is the strategy. And, you know, the government has been working on that strategy with partners, because government can't do this alone. This is going to have to be a joint effort to look at the things that triggered loneliness. What are the ways of combating it? What are the tools that are needed to try and help organizations when they're facing, when they're looking at these sorts of issues? And so the mantle, if you like, the ministerial mantle has now been passed to me, and I've got this, you know, I'm very fortunate. I think it is an incredibly important piece of work. And it is incredible, really, because I think because of that work that started off and the momentum that it's gained means that the UK has become world leaders in this. And actually, in the short time that I've been doing this, I've already had calls with ministers from other countries who are really interested in the work that we're doing. And we're really starting to share that information internationally now. So, you know, I think that's... And we know, as we do more and more research, this doesn't just affect people's mental health. There is evidence now that it actually affects their physical health. Yeah. So by dealing with this, by talking about it, by trying to understand it more, we can hopefully improve people's lives in so many different ways.
How fascinating that you've had calls from other countries. Why do you believe that we've got this, what I'm calling an epidemic, because that's how it seems. It seems that maybe we're talking about it more, but certainly for sure, there seem to be more people putting their hands up saying that they feel lonely. Why do you think in the Western world, let's say, and maybe some of the calls you've had have been from different places. Why is this so bad now in the 21st century?
Well, I think the evidence shows that there's a number of reasons. One is, you're absolutely right, we're actually starting to talk about it. And that is something that wasn't done before. And that does make a difference. It's a bit, I sort of try and draw a comparison with mental health. I remember back, 10, 15 years ago, people wouldn't talk about mental health. It was a taboo. And suddenly, I remember being in the chamber when a member of parliament stood up and talked about their own personal mental health and the effects that they'd had on their lives. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. That's incredibly brave. Well, today we wouldn't think that was brave. People talk about their mental health. And that's what we need to try and do, I think, with loneliness. And I'll come on to that in a bit later, is about the stigma of loneliness. But I think, so that's one element, I think, that people are actually talking about it, which they didn't do before. It was something that you would just keep to yourself. But I think you're absolutely right. There are other things, and we know that there are triggers in people's lives that can cause it. So for young people, they go through a lot of transitions in their life. They go from primary school to secondary school, from secondary school to college or university. They may even move home, and that's a big trigger for loneliness. So there's all of those things that happen, particularly with young people. For older people, bereavement may be the source of it. They may suddenly find that their whole social network has broken down because they've lost their loved one, or there may be other reasons. So I think it's really hard to pinpoint a single thing, but I think there are a number of factors. And as you rightly point out, the pandemic had a major impact, if you like, because people were told to stay at home, rightly, but equally that brought about an isolation amongst people. And some people, older people, vulnerable people, are still finding it hard to feel safe coming out into society again. And so they will find themselves, feeling lonely and isolated. So I think there's a whole raft of reasons. And that's what's been fascinating with the research that we've been doing, is to see what the triggers are. Because people can also be in amongst people on a daily basis and still be lonely.
People can be in marriages and feel incredibly isolated and unseen, unmet. Their needs aren't met in a friendship group, in a work environment, and that can almost be doubly painful, because you probably look around and think, how come I feel so bad when I've got this, there are these human connections, but they're just not nourishing me.
Exactly, and we have an all-party group on loneliness, and that all-party group recently did some research into loneliness in the workplace. And I think we probably would all assume that if you go to work every day, then you're not going to be lonely. Well, actually, that isn't the case. And as you rightly say, people find themselves in their work environment, but perhaps feeling slightly detached from the other colleagues at work, and for whatever reason. And as you say, you watching other people seemingly look as though they're not lonely, they're enjoying life, they're enjoying the company of others, and that feeling of loneliness that you're feeling yourself must make it really, really difficult. So these are big challenges, and that's why I say it's not something government can do alone. It has to be a partnership, because we want people in the workplace to be thinking about it. We want organizations that have contact with people on a regular basis to think about this. And we have a number of projects that we are running now, for things like the Know Your Neighbourhood Fund, which is about creating volunteer opportunities for people within their communities. And that is a great way of getting people, feeling less isolated. And funnily enough, I just happen to be the minister for volunteering. So, the benefits are there for both, really.
And also, you've got other roles, haven't you, which touch on this? You're Minister for Sport, which, getting people together in a sporting environment. I saw that you were at a local rugby league club recently to highlight things like rugby, like dance, and getting people into situations where they might meet like-minded people and form those connections. But before we come on to some of the things that you are doing, I was just wondering, because you were mentioning an MP talking about their mental health maybe a decade ago, and Mr. Charles Lamb was, you know, one of the first who did that. Can I ask you what your experience of loneliness has been?
So I mean, there have been a number of times when I felt particularly lonely. And, you know, again, those will be transitions in my life, if you like. So the first that I remember specifically was the time when, you know, I was sort of accepting in myself my sexuality. But I grew up on Anglesey in North Wales, quite, what's the word I'm looking for? It was, you know, it's a very rural area. It was back in the 80s. It was a different environment, and sort of the fear of telling anybody was paramount for me. I didn't dare think that I could tell anybody that I was gay.
Well, that was why that sense of being the only gay in the village was such a resonant and relatable phrase, because there were many people like you who actually probably felt that.
Yes, very much so. Absolutely. I just thought I'd never come across anybody else who was. I didn't believe, you know, I just felt so isolated. And that was incredibly lonely for me, I have to say. That's just that sense of not knowing where to turn next was really difficult. Now, that's nobody's fault, actually, because my mum was, even before I came out to her, had always said, you know, if ever any of my sons tell me I'm gay, they're gay, that to me is not an issue. But it's just that, you know, when that sounded great, but actually when it comes to reality and you've got to admit it, that becomes quite a challenge within yourself, and you go through that internal thing. Now, eventually I actually told a friend who I knew would be okay about it. And just immediately talking about it, that sense of loneliness just disappeared almost straight away, because I was sharing something. And then there've been other instances in my life. So actually, you know what, when I first became an MP, I had, you know, my life was very much in Yorkshire. I worked within the hospice movement. I worked at Martin House Children's Hospice, had a lovely life there, knew lots and lots of people, lots of people at home, used to socialise with people at home. And suddenly my life turned upside down, if you like, over one weekend, because the election happened and suddenly I got elected. I had to get down to London, and I'm in this huge city that, yes, I've been to a number of times, but I didn't really know it. And I didn't know many people in Parliament. And there's that sense of, you know, again, feeling a bit isolated, not knowing where to turn to was, you know, yeah, I remember feeling quite lonely at times and thinking I'd probably made the biggest mistake of my life standing for election.
And do you think that even now that story must be replicated with many people who become an MP, that life changes radically overnight? And there's a bonding that you all share through having gone through that. But at the same time, maybe nobody wants to admit that it's as traumatic a transition, or that it's the upheaval emotionally that it can be. Do you think MPs are good at supporting each other, you know, irrespective of what your party politics might be, that actually we're all in this as a band of people together?
Yes, I actually think people are, and it is for me, you know, because I remember actually there was one moment where I was just reflecting to myself that I felt a bit isolated, and I went out, I was on the terrace and just sort of looking out over the river, if you like. I remember there were a group of MPs sat at a table and they said, you know, come and join us. And it was just so nice. And now I don't know for one minute whether they saw me and thought, is he okay? Or whether they were just, you know, it was just a normal reaction. But regardless, it was really, really meaningful to me. And I'm always conscious now, if I see people alone, I, you know, just say hello to them. And if they want to talk, they will. And if they don't, then that's fair enough. But but I think the one thing you do see in Parliament is, because it's such a unique job, and it's quite hard to understand the role unless you're in it, there is that weird bond that people don't see, that, you know, the cross-party friendships that that, you know, spark up. It's quite an incredible thing, really. I think everybody thinks we're all like fighting like cat and dog, you know, like prime minister's questions every week. But it's very different to that. There is a support mechanism. And when, you know, there is that real bond, if you like, when sadly, when Joe was killed and when David Amos was killed, that really brings colleagues together. And so, yeah, there's a lot of support there. But it goes back to that point, you know, I'm in Parliament, probably one of the most busiest buildings in the country, and yet I felt lonely. And it goes back to that thing that you can be around people but still feel isolated.
And you can be on your own in solitude and not feel lonely. And I think we need to, there needs to be discussions, I always feel, in schools about how to embrace solitude, because that is a really beautiful thing. And you can find out so much about yourself, but that's so different to being in a situation where you long for connection and you long for really nourishing, authentic connection. And if it's not there, that's what tips you into loneliness. And I started this podcast by asking a question, really, which is whether governments are equipped to address this. So finally, perhaps we could just touch on the things that government is doing. I know, as I say, I've seen you out and about with so many initiatives to get people connected, but also what you think, as you say, it's a partnership. What could we be doing? What can we ourselves do? Is it about actually owning our loneliness and saying to someone, like you spoke to your friend about coming out, that actually to find the courage to tell someone, I'm lonely?
Well, I think that is the number one thing, and I sort of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but the issue of stigma, we have to tackle that, because that unless people start talking about it, then we're never going to tackle the issue. And you know, that's why I think it's important that, you know, I talk about my experiences, because otherwise it's a bit hypocritical of me saying, come on, everybody, talk about loneliness, if then I'm not prepared to talk about my own at times. And so I think stigma is the big thing. There's a big campaign. That's what we're focusing on at the moment, to get people talking about it, to encourage people to have those conversations, to say to their friends, to their family, that that's how they're feeling. But then there are other things, you know, there's so many organisations, and we're doing sort of there's a portal where there's a whole host of organisations registered there who are looking at this issue of loneliness, and with tips and ideas, sharing and exchanging ideas of things that have worked within their communities. And I think that's where this is really important, is that, as I say, this is a partnership. It is important we get people, you know, working together. Government's got a huge role to play in this. And, you know, there's a lot that we're doing. We are world leading, but we have to do it in partnership with other organisations. And dare I say, with every individual in the country. You know, if you see someone on their own, just say hello. It might just be the opening that person's waiting for.
Well, what a beautiful note to end this podcast on. Thank you so much for speaking to me and being so open about your own experiences, but also giving people that hope, the information about the portal where they can go and get advice for, yes, combating loneliness. So Stuart Andrew, a Conservative MP for Pudsey, Horsforth and Airborough, and Minister for Loneliness, amongst many other things. Thank you so much for being my guest on The Couch.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please remember to like, subscribe, review, all the things that help people hear about the On The Couch podcast. And do tell all your friends, and even people who aren't your friends, but maybe you want them to be. This is a podcast for Reaction.